New Fed chair pledges regime change to fight inflation. Here's what that could mean in practice. Newly confirmed Federal Reserve Chair Kevin Warsh, pledging new tactics to fight inflation, faces an uphill battle to keep rising prices in check. At his April 21st Senate confirmation hearing, Warsh called for a regime change in the conduct of policy at the Fed from the status quo under former Chair Jerome Powell, during whose tenure annual inflation has not been below its target since 2021 and exceeded 8% during the Biden administration. Once you let inflation take hold in the economy, it's more expensive and harder to bring it down, and so the fatal policy error going back 4 or 5 years is still a legacy that we're dealing with, Warsh said. Hardworking Americans are no doubt feeling it. Americans are suffering as price increases outpace wages. And as of April, the inflation rate of 3.8% remains persistently above the 2% target set by the Federal Reserve. What is the new Fed chair's plan to get inflation under control? Analysts predict that he will bring a different approach, which will include reducing the Fed's massive $6.8 trillion bond holdings, prioritizing interest rate actions over quantitative easing, and focusing on the money supply over other metrics. Warsh is likely going to pursue a smaller Fed balance sheet and try to use this tightening as a bargaining chip to get the Federal Open Market Committee to lower short-term rates. Chris Whalen, investment banker and former Fed staffer, told the Epoch Times. His comments on the disaster of quantitative easing are quite clear. The legacy of cheap dollars. Except for a brief interlude during President Donald Trump's first term, the Fed has pursued a cheap money strategy since the mortgage crisis of 2008 to 2009, keeping its benchmark short-term interest rate, the federal funds rate, near zero, and only raising rates in 2022 when inflation was approaching double digits. Simultaneously, the Fed pursued an experimental policy called quantitative easing, under which it created money to buy bonds from money center banks, flooding the U.S. economy with dollars. Between 2008 and 2022, the Fed accumulated $8 trillion in new financial assets on its balance sheet, effectively transforming it into one of the world's largest asset managers and the largest single owner of U.S. treasuries. Warsh has been an outspoken critic of quantitative easing, leading many economists to predict that he will try to reverse this policy and shrink the Fed's balance sheet. During his confirmation hearing, he stated, "The Fed has an interest rate tool and a balance sheet tool. The balance sheet tool disproportionately helps those with financial assets. The interest rate tool hits the entire economy. Although quantitative easing and low interest rates boosted demand in the wake of the mortgage collapse and COVID-19 pandemic lockdowns, they also drove up asset prices, notably stocks, bonds, and houses, to the benefit of wealthier Americans. Simultaneously, living standards fell for many Americans, whose dollars have lost more than 20% of their value over the past 5 years. The primary driver of inflation is the Fed's expansion of the money supply, which the new Fed Kevin Warsh has addressed numerous times. Julia Cartwright, economist with the American Institute for Economic Research, told the Epoch Times, "Between 2020 and 2022, the Fed injected approximately $6.4 trillion in new money into the economy to finance COVID-19 stimulus payments," she said, "and about 29% of the United States' entire money supply today has been created since January 2020. Compounding this, the Iran conflict has choked off the Strait of Hormuz, disrupting roughly 20 million barrels of oil per day and a fifth of global LNG trade, driving up energy, fertilizer, plastics, food, and virtually every input price across the economy," Cartwright said. Follow the money supply. Although the Iran war and tariffs have driven up prices, Steve Hank, a professor of economics at Johns Hopkins University who served on President Ronald Reagan's Council of Economic Advisors, maintained that inflation is fundamentally a monetary phenomenon, a matter of too much money chasing too few goods. To put the inflation genie back in the bottle, the Fed must dump the post-Keynesian economic models it relies on and start paying attention to the quantity theory of money and the money supply broadly measured, Hank told the Epoch Times. The Fed should announce that it is going to target the growth rate in the money supply that is consistent with hitting its 2% per year inflation target. Based on the quantity theory of money, that would require the rate of growth in M2 to be around 6% per year. The M2 measurement of the money supply includes cash, bank deposits, and funds that are readily convertible to cash, such as certificates of deposit and money market funds. During the United States' low inflation period between 2008 and 2020, the annual growth rate in the money supply was 6.11%, Hank said, and inflation, measured by the Consumer Price Index, averaged 1.77%. Indeed, Warsh has indicated that he will focus on different metrics to measure and control inflation beyond short-term price fluctuations. What I'm most interested in is, what is the underlying inflation rate? Not what is the one-time change in prices because of a change in geopolitics or change in beef, Warsh told senators at his confirmation hearing. The power of the supply side. What can the Trump administration do to help the Fed fight inflation? Economists call for supply-side initiatives, such as continuing deregulation, lowering tariffs, and boosting energy supply, as well as cutting government spending. Deficit financing pressures the Fed to expand the money supply and keeps interest rates higher than necessary, Cartwright said. She also advocated a hands-off approach to private industry, despite the recent stakes the Trump administration has taken in companies such as Intel. In a functioning economy, businesses compete primarily by bringing prices down. The more competition, the lower the prices and the better off consumers are, Cartwright said. The most persistent and underappreciated source of higher prices is government interference in that competition through subsidies, preferential corporate deals, tariffs, and industrial policy that substitutes Washington's judgment for the markets. Lastly, economists say politicians should let the Fed focus on fighting inflation rather than pressuring Fed officials to cut interest rates before inflation is tamed. The best course of action for the Trump administration to take would be to go radio silent on monetary policy, Hank said. Do what President Reagan did with Paul Volcker. Reagan gave Volcker the monetary policy reins and left him alone.